Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavam Tattabandhunam Paranam Anuvartinam. Yata vid yupasangamya sarvesham manam adate. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, approached them and offered due honor and respect to each and every one of the friends, relatives, and citizens, and all others who came to receive and welcome him. Purport, the Supreme Personality of... One second. Purport, the Supreme Personality of God, it is neither impersonal nor an inert object unable to reciprocate the feelings of his devotees. Here the word yata vidhi, or just as it behooves, is significant. He reciprocates just as it behooves with his different types of admirers and devotees. Of course, the pure devotees are of one type only because they have no other object for service but the Lord. And therefore, the Lord also reciprocates with such devotees just as it behooves, namely, is always attentive to the matters of his pure devotees. There are others who designate him as personal, and so the Lord also does not take any personal interest. He satisfies everyone in terms of one's development of spiritual consciousness. And the sample of such reciprocation is exhibited here with his different welcomers. Om Jnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Saksul Malatam Nyena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Ghor Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. I just came back from our retreat in Jagannath Puri. And I think it was the best retreat or experience maybe I've ever had. The community that's created and how important it is community for bhakti, because bhakti begins when you move out of the center. Center means egotistical consciousness, seeing everything in relationship to your desires. And what community is where you rise above self-interest to serve the benefits of everyone. And when a community is actually functioning, it's easy for one to get off of the selfish platform. Lack of community creates selfishness because everyone has to look out for their own interests. And we see other people as competitors. And we can't be vulnerable, so we have to put up our defenses. And that type of consciousness tends to make us self-centered. So when you have a real community, which means that the unit is serving the people better than they can by themselves, people can drop their defenses, to their self-centeredness. They can be vulnerable without being apprehensive that their self-interest will be violated. And it just creates an atmosphere that's much more conducive for bhakti or devotion. And it was great, the variety of people. I had some disciples from the Middle East, very cultured people, so pleasant. There's no better prasad in the world than Jagannath prasad. And the last day, someone really sponsored a feast for us of 10 preparations. This is a fruit salad, very small pieces of fruit in some yogurt sauce, which I'm not so inclined for when I eat a feast, because it had these spices, even little hot spices, not too hot. It just exploded the flavor in your mouth. And the feeling, what happens is too, because the devotees, everything is done by donation. So, you know, when you sit down and after, everyone is just feeling so served. Each individual is feeling served. And feeling mercy. And when you experience mercy, it creates humility. It creates a kind of very happy type of humility. Because that type of humility in community where one receives mercy is not a position. You're not putting yourself in a position where people can take advantage of you. You're putting yourself in a position where people can serve you. So you tend more easily to embrace the blissfulness of humility and service because you're not threatened. So I saw the last day, you know, and we don't really refuse anybody. People come in and they get prasadam and it all works out. And the last day was a 10 preparation Jagannath feast. And just to see how the gratitude that people were feeling, because they were receiving more than they deserve, either from what they paid for or whatever the question is. And when that kind of atmosphere is there, when people are feeling grace, they're able to embrace the humble position, which is the position of where love flows and one feels satisfied and happy. So that was kind of my realization, that when you have a crowd rather than a community, where everybody's out for their own self-interest, then when one takes the humble position, they get exploited. And therefore, they have a negative conception of it. And living in a community where there is this grace and gratitude and humility, it just opens the heart to bhakti in ways that one can't imagine. And it was really just something to experience. And, you know, the level of talks, people were very appreciative of. We had incredible kirtans with the Kinchana Krishna Kishore, Gopal of the 24-hour kirtan, Jai Jagannath dancing. So it was great. Now, here, Krishna is coming into Dwarka, and we're seeing how he's being received. in such beautiful ways by everyone, according to their capacity. And Krishna is reciprocating because God doesn't have the defect of impersonality, as Prabhupada said. So he reciprocates. God is, in his perfection, Prabhupada said, God is responsive. So he reciprocates because he's a, it's part of his opulence. And he reciprocates yatha vidhi. In the appropriate way. And the appropriate way of reciprocation is the response that's conducive to the most love and devotion. For example, the appropriate response from a student to his teacher may be his hands folded or obeisances. For the teacher to the student, it may be blessings or perhaps putting his hand on his head. And the appropriateness of it and the consciousness of it, it's a very beautiful thing. So here it's Krishna is reciprocal. To please others in love and devotion. I'm going to read the next verse. Prava bivadana shlesha karasparsha smitekshinai. Avasya chaspapake bhyo varascha bhimatir vibho. The Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances and awarding benedictions even to the lowest rank. Purport, to receive the Lord Sri Krishna, there were all grades of population, beginning from Vasudeva, Ugrasena, and Gargamuni, the father, grandfather, and teacher, down to the prostitutes and chandalas who are accustomed to eat dogs. And every one of them was properly greeted by the Lord in terms of rank and position. As pure living entities, all are separated parts and parts of the Lord, and thus no one is alien by his eternal relation. Such pure living entities are gradually graded differently in terms of contamination, the modes of nature, but the Lord is equally affectionate to his parts and parcels, despite material gradation. He descends only to recall these materialistic living beings back to his kingdom. And intelligent persons take advantage of this facility offered by the personality of God to all living entities. No one is rejected by the Lord from his kingdom of God, and it remains with the living entity to accept this or not. So it's a very beautiful concept. The Lord is greeted by everyone, and he responds to everyone. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hashtini Shuni Chaiva Supaketva Pandita Sarvadarshana. A pandit, a cultured person, is Samadarshana. He sees everyone equally. So Krishna also sees everyone equally. Samaham sarva bhuteshu madbhakta labhate. Samaham sarva bhuteshu. 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 Samaham sarva bhutesh I am equal to everyone. I don't hate or like anyone, which means that God is equal to everyone. Apandit is equal to everyone. It means that they treat everyone in love, in relationship. But it doesn't mean that everyone gets the same treatment. It means that God does what's best for everyone. So in that sense, he's equal. It's just like a father. He may praise one son when he is deserving. He may punish another son when they're not deserving. But he loves them equally as his sons. He just has to respond differently according to who they are. So the pandit sees the elephant, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani, the Brahmani, all equal, doesn't mean that he deals with them somehow it's not coming out the way I want. Let me just think a minute to see how I can express this. That when you see someone equally, it means that, like a father sees all children as his sons and is ready to offer the same benediction to all the sons, but different sons have different capacities to and willingness to accept it. So it doesn't mean he's not equal. It's just like the rain falls everywhere equally, but you know, some places soft sand where the water will be absorbed, and some places as hard rock but it's coming everywhere. So equally means that God equally loves and wants to benedict every living entity. But according to their capacity, they'll receive his mercy in different ways. And according to what they need, they'll receive his mercy in different ways. So here it says that Krishna is, no one is rejected. And it remains to the living entity to accept it or not. So no one is rejected. Although God may respond differently according to what's best. Here's another analogy. A son has different children, and one is sick, and one is healthy. The healthy one gets ice cream, the sick one gets medicine. But if the healthy one was sick, he would get medicine, and if the sick one was healthy, he'd get ice cream. So even though the dealings at any one time may be different, the Lord is equal to everyone. And therefore reciprocates accordingly. Okay, we'll go on to the next verse. Maybe today we can cover a few. Swayam cha gurubhir viprai sadarai staravayapi astibhir yujamano yar pandivas cha vishatpuram. Then the Lord personally entered the city, accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid Brahmins with their wives, all offering benediction and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praised the glories of the Lord. Purport: the Brahmins in society were never attentive to banking money for future retired life. This is a very interesting thing, that there's a social and occupational division society of natural. And this type of society, the function of the society, people are ascribed different roles. So to distinguish between those people, even today when you look at people, and you can distinguish, well, who is a Brahmin He's completely dependent on God. That's what a real Brahmin is, because he's in the mode of goodness. Now, Kshatriya is passionate, and he requires some territory to control for his security. And therefore, it's part of his dharma, because he needs it for his spiritual life. Where that kind of control belies a Brahmin and compromises his ability to do service, which is to speak the truth. Because any time you have attachments, you can be controlled. And therefore, your ability to impartially inform the society and the leadership of truth will be compromised, because the truth often challenges one's attachment. So in a society where rulers have attachment, personal attachment, they generally try to silence the Brahminical class, who will espouse truth that will challenge their attachments. So Brahmins in society wouldn't bank money, because they were dependent on Krishna. They had that level of consciousness where they were dependent on Krishna. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't bank money, but because we don't have that level of security, we will be disturbed. But a Brahmin will not be disturbed, because he has full dependence on Krishna. The Kshatriya has less, because he has some attachments and he needs to control. The Vaishyas have even less, because to do business they resort to a kind of authorized deceit. Do I make no profit? That type of thing. And in those society, the Sudras need a master. They need a master. So he said the Brahmins were never attempted to banking money. When they were old invalids, they used to approach with their wives the assembly of the king, and simply praising the glorious deeds performed by the kings, they would be provided with all necessities of life. What a beautiful society where people were reciprocated for whatever work they were good at. And therefore, there was a certain peacefulness, because actually our work is our enjoyment. So when your work is oppressive, this is just a simple point. In this particular type of culture, people reciprocated for the work that they were expert in. And therefore, if someone was a dancer, they were maintained. If someone was a teacher, they were maintained. If someone was a craftsman, they were maintained. So people would be happy in their work. And when you're happy in your work, then outside of work, then you don't mind performing the austerities of spiritual practice. But if your work itself becomes the austerity, then it's very difficult when one leaves work to perform the austerity of spiritual practice. This is such an important part of society. One of the highlights of our Puri Yatra is we went to this village of a famous Jagannath devotee who had passed away. And my mind was blown. I never, ever saw something as beautiful as this village. I just never, ever, if I, in my wildest dreams, if I could create and draw up a paradise of gardens and ponds and just a walkway, and it was so, it's so obvious, it was so, you know, and that type of thing. You look up in the sky, and it's like almost very dense with trees, and one coconut tree has about 50 coconuts. So there's practically no chance of ever starving. And the weather is such that even in the coldest part of the winter, practically, it's still quite warm out. Practically, you can wear a gumshoe the whole year. And the houses are made out of, you know, cob houses, mud houses, simple houses. So if you don't work, you don't die. Where in the Western culture, if you stop earning, you're consumed. So it just seemed to be such a beautiful environment. And here it said that, you know, the Brahmins, when they're old, and so all they have to do is come to assembly and share their knowledge, and they would be reciprocated with. It was a very, in one sense, sophisticated social system. Because no one would starve. It was his system. Such Brahmins were not, so to speak, flatterers of the kings, but the kings were actually glorified by their actions, and they were sincerely still more encouraged in pious acts by such Brahmins in a dignified way. Lord Krishna is worthy of all glories, and the praying Brahmins and others will glorify themselves by chanting the glories of the Lord. Text 11:24. Rajamagam gate Krishne Dwararakaya Kulastya Hamya Varuho Vipra Tadikshana Mahotsava. Lord Krishna passed over the public roads. All the ladies from the respectable families of Dwarka went up to the roofs of their houses just to have a look at the Lord. They considered this to be the greatest festival because pleasure, happiness is communicated through the senses. But there's two different qualities of happiness. One is lust and one is love. And when lust or greed or material desire flows from the heart, we're not satisfied. But when love flows from the heart, we're endlessly satisfied. So the greatest festival was to see the Lord because it inspired the love in their heart. So the sensual experience in the spiritual world inspires the love and happiness in one's heart. It's like a loving mother looking at a beautiful, wonderful, well-behaved, respectful, intelligent, responsible child, maybe even a young child. So she'll see the beauty of the child's face, perhaps. So she'll enjoy that, but she'll enjoy the quality of love. So when Krishna passed, the scene is everybody's greeting him and the Brahmins are chanting. And ladies from respectable families, they went onto the roof and they looked and they considered it a great festival. Plus, one of the greatest happinesses is the pleasure we get from seeing things. And if what we see is a worthy object of love, it inspires the love in our hearts. and creates a bhav. They say you have to be in the bhav. Yeah, and when you're in the bhav, when you have that devotion, then everything becomes pleasurable. Purport, to have a look at the Lord is a great festive occasion, undoubtedly, as was considered by the metropolitan ladies of Dwarka. This is still followed by the devout ladies of India, especially during the days of the Julan and Janmashtami ceremonies. The ladies of India still throng up in the greatest number at the temple of the Lord, where his transcendental eternal form is worshipped. So here, Prabhupada still goes on today, where especially the ladies at big festival days, they come to see the form of the Lord. And they enjoy. But they enjoy love, which puts one outside of the center. The transcendental form of the Lord installed in the temple is not different from the Lord personally. Such a form of the Lord is called Archivigraha, or Archincarnation, expanded by the Lord's internal potency just to facilitate the devotional service of his innumerable devotees who are in the material world. So, just as God creates the element iron, which has the capacity to become fire, he's created certain combinations of syllables which can become God. Just like iron can become fire, a certain group of syllables, they create a vibration glorifying God's name. They become transformed into God. So in the same way, there are certain forms of God that have the ability to become God. They may be made out of metal. They may be, there's different seven types of things deities can be made of. But if they're done in the proper way, and they become Archivigraha, and by the Lord's will, they're meant to facilitate our service, then the Lord accepts that. Material senses cannot perceive the spiritual nature of the Lord, and therefore the Lord accepts the Archivigraha, which is apparently made of material elements like earth, wood, and stone. But actually, there is no material contamination. The Lord being Kaivalya, one alone, there is no matter in him. He is one without a second, and therefore the Almighty Lord can appear in any form without being contaminated by the material conception. So there's a transformation of certain material elements in certain forms representing God. Therefore, festivities in the temple of the Lord, as held generally, like festivals performed during the manifested days of the Lord of Dwarka. Right. Therefore, festivities in the temple of the Lord, as held generally, are like festivals performed during the manifested days of the Lord of Dwarka about 5,000 years ago. The authorized acharyas, who know the science perfectly, install such temples of the Lord under regulative principles, just to offer facilities to the common man. But persons who are less intelligent, without being conversant with the science, mistake these attempts to be idol worship and poke their nose into that which they have no access. I should read that again. The authorized acharyas, who know the science perfectly, install such temples of the Lord under regulative principles, just to offer facilities to the common man. The persons who are less intelligent, without being conversant with the science, mistake this great attempt to be idol worship and poke their noses into that to which they have no access. Therefore, the ladies or men who observe festivals in the temple of the Lord, just to look, have a look at the transcendental form, are 1,000 times more glorious than those who are non-believers in the transcendental form of the Lord. It appears from the verse that the inhabitants of Dwarka are all owners of big palaces. This indicates the prosperity of the city. The ladies got up on the roofs just to have a look at the procession and the Lord. The ladies did not mix with the crowd on the street, and thus their respectability was perfectly observed. There was no artificial equality with the man. Female respectability is preserved more eloquently by keeping the women separate from the man. The sexes should not mix unrestrictedly. You know, I really traveled extensively yesterday, and I can see there's limits to how well my brain works, but at least we're today. But at least we're starting up the Sangha, and I'm going to be in my place, so I'll make sure that I'm well-rested and I have everything here together to do that. It's just, it's one of these kind of half-sleeping days, just because of the intense travel. But I do have time for any questions.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Yeah, hi, Ro.
Yeah, I got a burning question. I'm referring to the 929 Gita verse. Krishna is equal to everybody.
Yeah,
and
right.
I feel like I fully understand the points that you are making about that, but I still don't know how to resolve one particular thing. That, you know, Krishna is a person, and he has feelings, right? And so,
yes.
I mean, I think even among parents, you know, if you have two children, and one child, you see, always has this service attitude towards you, and the other one is completely, you know, insensitive to you, for example, or something like that. Right? There's this big contrast between the two. So, yes, you do care for both your children, but because he is a person, I would think, you know, a person having feelings, I would think that his feelings for the one who is always, you know, more caring toward him is, he would inspire more affection.
This second part of the verse, he's equal to everyone. But he reciprocates with love. And that still doesn't belie his partiality.
Yes.
You know, because he would reciprocate with everyone. Let's say there's two children and one is, you know, more service and one is more. It's not that it's not that you would only do it with one child and not the other.
Mm-hmm.
You do it with whoever child was like that. It's not like you'll hate or like based on material conception, you know, that this person, you know, does little and you give them more, and this person gives a lot and you give them less, and it's whimsical and it's material. No, you'll treat everyone equally. But, of course, if they reciprocate to you, which means, come in. It means that whoever... that you would do it for anyone.
Yes.
You know, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in that way, the equality is still there. You would do it for anyone. But but you'll naturally reciprocate with those who love, but you'll reciprocate with any of them. I think the impartiality will be is if someone favors one child and the other child does the same thing and doesn't get the same result.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, but my emphasis was on the feelings, though, you know, the feeling in his heart, the level of affection, you know.
The level of affection may be natural also to respond in that way, but it doesn't. They would have the same level of affection if the other person loved them in that way.
Yes, yes.
It wouldn't be any different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
Okay,
thank
good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm really going to have to go now today. If anybody would like to say hello quickly.
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, Raj.
We miss you.
Great. Welcome back to America.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hare Bo. Okay, Hare Bo. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I'm hearing everybody. Yeah, from Florida. Yes. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna
Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, and before that, who said Hare Krishna?
It's Lee.
Who? Lee, Hare Bo.
Lee?
Hare Bo. Yeah, I got it, Lee. Thanks for being on. Thanks. I'll be back soon. Okay, Hare Bo, I have to go now. Hare Krishna.